is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The Islamic Republic of Iran and the suspect nuclear weapons program, and these years, decades now, of attempts by the IAEA and its board of governors, that's the UN watchdog for the Non-Proliferation Treaty, to either rein in or monitor the development of what appears to be a sophisticated and extremely dangerous nuclear weapons program. Now Iran is speaking out again to the IAEA about its sanctions for ballistic missiles, sanctions for a suspect nuclear weapons program, and challenging the IAEA, Washington, our European partners. If you don't do this, then we will do that. To help me understand this story, I welcome Andrea Stricker, Deputy Director of the Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Andrea, we have to get geeky here. So Code 3.1 of the NPT. What is the NPT? What is Code 3.1? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. The NPT is the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and it was formalized in 1970s. So countries undertake not to transfer nuclear explosive materials, devices to other countries, or to develop those capabilities themselves if they are non-nuclear weapon states. All these countries have to sign a Comprehensive Safeguards Agreement, or CSA, with the UN Nuclear Watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency. And then they also have special arrangements called subsidiary arrangements to those CSAs. And in those subsidiary arrangements, there's a provision called Code 3.1. This is a provision that requires states to tell the IAEA when they're building a nuclear material producing facility. The IAEA modified this in 1992 and made it so that countries have to tell them as soon as they decide to construct a new nuclear material producing facility and provide design information. And that obviously helped overcome the proliferation disasters of Iraq and North Korea, where the IAEA was totally blindsided by the existence of major facilities. The Iran case is interesting because they don't abide by this. They say they don't abide by Code 3.1, and they have in the past constructed enrichment facilities without telling the agency.
The Iran violations extend also to our opinion of their ballistic missile program. And these are not, they're separate tracks, but they're the same confrontation with the United States and our European allies. Right now, I read your report. Iranian regime official threatened that Iran would enrich uranium to higher levels or withdraw from the NPT, Non-Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, should European countries retain missile-related sanctions against Iran past their expiration in October. That appears to be Iran saying, we're going to be in double violation. We're going to increase our levels of enrichment of uranium, which violates, and we're going to ignore the NPT and continue to develop our ballistic missile program. Is that what they mean to do, a double threat?
That's the threat. We don't know if they'll actually go forward. They may find some way to not withdraw from the NPT or go to higher enrichment for other reasons. But as you mentioned, the UN missile embargo is set to lift in October, and that was put in place under the 2015 nuclear accord and formalized in UN Resolution 2231. And that's going to allow Iran to import and export missiles and drones. We know they're arming Russia to for use in Ukraine. And the Europeans, the UK, and the EU say, we will not lift our own national and EU restrictions on the missile and drone front or release any proliferation-related people from their sanctions lists. And that's why Iran is upset. They really prize the lifting of the embargo and then the lifting of the sanctions. But it's going to be the first violation by the Europeans of the JCPOA, which is interesting because they keep clinging to this deal. And we're suggesting that they just go all the way and snap back all the UN sanctions so that we'll stop the lifting of that missile embargo this fall.
I read from your reporting, however, that Iran is in violation of the NPT now. It's in violation of Code 3.1. How so?
Iran has always said that they view Code 3.1, the modified version, as voluntary. The IAEA disagrees. So what they're essentially saying is they're not going to notify the IAEA if they decide to build any new enrichment plants. They're telling us that they will violate this. And what they're supposed to be doing is telling the IAEA as soon as they decide to construct such a facility. There's one location in Iran that at least one Western intelligence agency is concerned about, and it's near the Natanz enrichment facilities in the mountains. They are saying that this intelligence agency is concerned that even U.S. bunker buster bombs would not be able to destroy this facility. Iran says it's a centrifuge manufacturing plant, but it could be an ideal place for a secret enrichment facility. And our concern is that they won't notify the IAEA, and then they could break out at the facility before anyone could stop it.
The history of this, however, suggests that the IAEA will not enforce. The next meeting is September, I read from your reporting. Fordo, I remember many years ago, more than a decade ago, Fordo was a great revelation, underground, secret. It had machinery that was up to date or advanced in processing uranium. There were many promises made. There was tracking by satellites. It was very dramatic and confrontational. We know now that Fordo was directly involved in manufacturing enriched uranium. We know this. We know that it was secret. We know that it was built secretly, that it was a violation of Code 3.1 in 2009. So my thinking here, Andrea, is that Iran knows that it's gotten away with this before. Are they assuming they'll get away with it again?
Well, they're always taking a chance, right? They could be the subject of a military strike if they calculate poorly. But correct, the Iranians violated Code 3.1 in its original form when they built the Natanz enrichment plant, which also had a pilot plant. And they also conducted enrichment-related work at a site called Kalai Electric. IAEA also found uranium particles in another site called Faryam Technique, all in 2002, 2003, all violations of the Comprehensive Safeguards Agreement. Iran, we learned later, was starting to construct the Fordo enrichment plant around 2002. We know this from the nuclear archive materials that Israel seized. And the IAEA learned about that many years later. World Powers revealed it in 2009. So Iran doesn't view modified Code 3.1 as an obligation. It doesn't view the original code, apparently, as an obligation. So I think we really need to take this seriously. We need to proactively counter this next violation and prepare for another secret plan.
Your analysis of the IAEA Board of Governors, it next meets in September. Is it prepared to confront Iran, and does it have an enforcement mechanism? Because plain English says Iran's in violation.
They should be proactively countering the violation of Code 3.1 that Iran says it will make. And they should be countering Iran's nuclear advances and its noncompliance with the IAEA's more than four-year safeguards investigation into nuclear weapons work. But the board is just not doing its job. They are more concerned with Iran undertaking further advances or going to 90% enrichment and not wanting to provoke that. They could be giving Iran a deadline for compliance. They could be giving the IAEA a specific mandate to check the nuclear weapons-related work on a more in-depth basis. But they're sitting on their hands as Iran continues to go forward. So I'm not expecting much at the September meeting either.
To underline what we do know, 90% is weapons grade. What do we know about their stockpiles now? Where are they and where are they going?
Right now they have enough 60% enriched material, which could itself be used in a nuclear device, to make three nuclear weapons within a few weeks. And then they have enough for seven weapons overall, as of the last reporting, to make weapons-grade uranium for seven weapons within 3 months. So they're continuing along this route, and really no one is doing anything to stop it. We're not restoring any sort of a pressure campaign at the IAEA. They could be invoking the snapback mechanism at the UN to put all the nuclear-related restrictions back in place. But again, they're just abandoning their duties.
There's said to be a negotiation brokered by or with an interlocutor in Oman between the United States and Tehran. What do we know about the status of that negotiation in connection to what we've been explicating, the violation of Code 3.1, real or modified, and the threat of ballistic missiles?
Our understanding is that the White House is kind of taking over this secret effort with Iran to try to get some kind of a nuclear arrangement. But under U.S. law, if there's some kind of Iran nuclear deal, the administration has to notify Congress. The administration is avoiding that at all costs, it appears, by trying to get some kind of quid pro quo, step by step, I'll do this and you do that arrangement with Iran. That's not formal. That's not written on paper. They've already released billions of dollars in frozen assets from Iraq and perhaps other compensation. And it's really unclear what we're getting out of this. There may be some kind of a hostage deal in the works. But again, that just incentivizes continued hostage taking by Tehran.
And the last time I believe we spoke of surveillance of the suspect Iranian sites, are there any cameras in place now achieving that surveillance, or have they all been turned off?
There are still, under the subsidiary arrangements to the CSA, there are cameras in place at the nuclear material producing facilities. That we know. They're not in place at sites like centrifuge manufacturing facilities. So the IAEA can't really monitor how many of these advanced machines Iran is making could be spiriting off to undisclosed sites. So that's a really important provision to get back in place.
I'm speaking with Andrea Stricker. She is research fellow and deputy director of the Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program at the Foundation for Defensive Democracies. Where we are now with regard to Iran's suspect nuclear weapons program and its very sophisticated and successful and money-making missile program. There's more than a nuclear for weapons of mass destruction. We're going to turn to chemical weapons. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bachelor.